We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
This Super Bowl around the corner, I think you are all too. Yesterday's news had such gravitational pull towards it that we couldn't, like the rest of the sports world, avoid it. Today we are back for what is obviously the biggest sports story possible locally. The Warriors have moved on from Willie Cauley-Stein. Thank God. It's about time. It really is. We totally missed that yesterday. Oh, there's this thing called the Super Bowl coming up, too. But Willie Cauley-Stein is gone. Hurrah, hurrah.
So apparently is the gondola plan.
No gondola for the...
Apparently the city thinks it's very unlikely. The A's remain optimistic.
Oh, you mean that gondola? Who gives a damn about that? I thought you meant the gondola at the NFL draft, bringing players out to the floating island.
Oh, no, they're going to row them in on slave ships to make the whole draft thing seem all the more appropriate.
It is good to have you here today, and obviously our focus happily turns back to the Super Bowl today. While many of the stories last night started with remembrances of Kobe Bryant, what he meant to so many players, especially players who are from L.A., we will have that for you today. We've got Michael Irvin joining us today at 2:45, and around 3:10, not our normal time, around 5:30, but at around 3:10 today, we're going to have ourselves our Tuesday trifecta. Our annual traditional Super Bowl snack draft will be part of today's Tuesday trifecta, and we're doing it early to get your calls for the trifecta before we're off what we're going to call today terrestrial radio at 3:30. We got Warriors Live starting. Golden State Warriors are playing basketball tonight while we slide over to the stream. That means you got a reason to download the radio.com app right now. Make sure you favorite the station 95.7 The Game. And at 3:30 till 6 o'clock tonight, join Ray, Matt, and I over on the stream. We're going to be qualifying at three different times, five people each, for a trip this weekend to Fort Lauderdale. Like, the chances of you winning will be 1 in 15 if you're a qualifier for a chance to go to Fort Lauderdale this week and have an awful lot of fun.
And if you had a situation where you were like, man, I could get a Super Bowl ticket if only I could get to South Florida, you're welcome.
We're going to be sending you to the Zac Brown Band, and it's going to be, look at it this way, the amount of people who go to South Florida but don't actually go to the game far outnumbers the people who got tickets to go to the game. It's
I did
a party.
That.
Have a great time.
I did that in 2006.
It's a party.
Yeah. The Bears were in the Super Bowl. No way I could afford a ticket, but I had a couple friends who were going to the game, and I went to Miami and tailgated and partied and then watched the game in a bar packed full of Bears fans. And other than the actual game, it was a delightful experience.
Yeah, look, it's a reason to go, you know, so you don't have a ticket to the Dead show. Have a fun time in the parking lot. It's just, this can be a great time, and we are going to, you know, it's just, it narrows the odds. The chances of you winning today, if you join us over on the stream, increase exponentially than if we were just having this today on air. So if you are savvy enough to have the radio.com app and favorite 95.7 The Game, we got an awful lot for you today. But we begin with breaking news. Breaking news from the Super Bowl, which might be more correctly filed under news averted. I still haven't heard how this ends, but Matt was playing this in my ear just before we hit the air. Ian Rappaport on his Twitter feed just posted the following update about the field conditions that the NFC champ is dealing with in terms of a practice field. And I say NFC champs because whoever won the NFC, had it been the Niners or the Packers, they would have been practicing at the University of Miami. And I'll let Ian Rappaport take it from there.
Yeah, this was a fascinating situation. And really, from my understanding, talking to several sources involved, in the end, a crisis averted. Here is what happened. The Packers and the 49ers, the two potential participants in the Super Bowl, visited the site before the NFC title game. At that point, the University of Miami practice field was deemed unsafe. The NFL did their own tests. They also deemed it unsafe. So basically, that was the situation where they went to Miami. They said this field needs to be replaced if the eventually the 49ers, but the eventual participant, were going to play here. From what I'm told, initially, the University of Miami said it took us a year to grow this field. We would not like for it to change at all. At that point, the 49ers, from what I'm told, started looking at other potential sites and moving their entire operation elsewhere. At that point, local officials got involved, cooler heads prevailed, and a resolution was reached that under certain circumstances, if certain circumstances were met, that Miami would redo their field, get a new field at the 49ers' expense, and that is where they would practice. So that is why the 49ers did not have to move anywhere.
So the Niners had to pay the University of Miami to install a new practice field? This is like the first 2 years of Levi Stadium when the grass didn't take. They're prepared for this, I guess.
No, they kill grass upon first sight anywhere.
But it's an incredible running game. It really is. They just run the turf right out from underneath them.
Look, nothing says gouging like the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So everything's a shakedown.
Man, I don't know if this is. I don't know if this is a shakedown here as much as the NFL obviously said this is unacceptable for our players. Well, you know, a major Division I program is like, oh, college players? Sure, go ahead. No one here is worth $1 million. Not yet, anyways. Risk them.
Not lately, anyway.
Yeah, not lately. Thank you very much. Commentary on hurricane football. Correct commentary on hurricane football. That seems Bush League. And look, it's nice that they were able to avoid it, that Jed York was able to just whip out the checkbook and make this go away, if that's indeed what indeed happened. That's what Ian Rappaport is reporting on his Twitter feed. He's right. It would have been a logistical headache had they had to move practice, a facility that is prepared and determined, you know, months ago to be the NFC site practice field. I can't think of anything that would throw a wrench into the how your week was supposed to work. So it is good that they avoided that.
I can't think of anything more NFL than not having this sorted out already. Like,
is this game in Winnipeg?
Seriously.
Is this game in Winnipeg?
In Super Bowl week, are we dealing with the same idiotic nonsense that happened in Winnipeg in the preseason?
Well, I hate to defend the NFL on anything, but it is very possible that this was your standard bait and switch, too. Field's great. Oh, wait a minute. We can't have you on the field. I mean, it smells like a Super Bowl shakedown.
Wow. I mean,
why wouldn't that be so?
Like University of Miami just taking advantage of the situation to get themselves a new field.
In the same way that hotels quintuple their rates.
Right.
Yeah. Like they did here when the Super Bowl was here. I mean, the Super Bowl basically is a week-long event with ski masks during the week, helmet on Sunday.
Look,
that's what it is.
You had both teams, two NFL teams, deeming this is not good enough. If the University of Miami intentionally sabotaged their own practice turf, knowing that an NFL team with more money than us was going to show up and pay for it, I don't know if Miami could honestly look for and request a Super Bowl again. I mean, Ray, I mean,
you'd be surprised.
I love your cynicism, but come on, man. Not the whole world is a scam. An awful lot of the Super Bowl is a scam. But this, no. The University of Miami does not want to hear our facilities aren't professional. They don't want that to be a talking point during Super Bowl week.
See, I think that's the problem with this is that everyone talks about how the University of Miami field stunk, and I don't think that's good for them. So that's a bit too much of a conspiracy theory for me, but I will say if it was like on the borderline, I don't think they would have put in a whole lot of effort to fix it if they thought an NFL team would do it for them. You know, I mean, it could be halfway there.
It's not like they didn't know this event was coming, and it wasn't like they hadn't already been contracted.
Yeah. It didn't sneak up on anyone.
No,
that is for sure.
Not like, oh, you guys need a field in a hurry? Well, we have one here, but it's not in great shape.
What about said field was determined unplayable?
Yeah, I would like to know what exactly that
means. We got divots, we got potholes, we got not enough grass, too much dirt, too slick.
I'm picturing the, like, basically wooden bad soccer fields I played on as a kid. You know, like just like a board of wood with some grass growing out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. To me, it feels like they might have resodded it. It hadn't taken root yet. That's a possibility. Or they had not resodded it.
Yeah.
And it was basically a lunar landscape.
Well, the good news is that the San Francisco 49ers have been printing money since 2013.
Yes.
Printing
That's
their
good.
Own money. And they could afford a field for the University of Miami. They could probably afford to garden all of Coral Gables if they had to ahead of this. So it's not a money issue. And what do we always say? What could Jed York do the best? Shut your mouth, cut the check, pick up the trophy. He's done two so far. He shut his mouth. Looks like he's cutting another check. Will he pick up the trophy? That's what we're talking about today. 888-957-9570. Got a guy in the text line saying, what do you guys mean by a stream? A video stream or just a normal radio broadcast over the internet? Yes, a normal radio broadcast over the internet, which will begin in earnest with us at 3:30. We were going to stream it, but we couldn't find any cameras with big enough lenses for the three of us. So there you go. No widescreen available. We don't have the right aspect ratio. But we got the audio, and I hope you do too. If you got the radio.com app, you got it. And you're going to get a chance to win a trip to Fort Lauderdale exclusively over on the stream, where you'll be hearing from Peter King and Ross Tucker today. You're going to be hearing from Michael Irvin coming up at 2:45 here on 95.7 The Game. Sponsored by Nutrisystem. Now's the time to try Nutrisystem for men. Lose weight eating the food that you love. Buy 1 month, get one free, plus a week of protein pack shakes free at Nutrisystem.com/radio. That's Nutrisystem.com/radio. Restrictions apply. See or call website for details. Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game.
The road to Miami happens here. Now back to Damon Ratto and Kolsky.
It's great to have you along today. Starting at 3:30 p.m., the only way to hear this show is on our stream. Check out the radio.com app if you haven't already downloaded it. We're going to be over on the stream from 3:30 to 6 o'clock, and we're going to be sending one of our listeners and a guest to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. This weekend, we're going to be qualifying five people every hour on the stream only. The winner will receive a round-trip airfare, hotel accommodations, and two tickets to Radio.com's The Night Before concert event starring the Zac Brown Band on Saturday night. The prize also includes a meet-and-greet with the band, all brought to you by Greater Fort Lauderdale, only 20 minutes from Hard Rock Stadium. Visit them today at sunny.org. Fort Lauderdale is closer to Hard Rock Stadium than San Francisco is to Levi's Stadium. Like, you could drive from Fort Lauderdale to Miami twice before you could reach Levi's from here. So it's just really up the road. And up the road from that, I think, is Palm Beach. And ask Robert Kraft how that last trip went. Not really what he was looking for. But
well, I think that's exactly
what he was looking for. Yes, it was. No, he achieved what he was looking for. The surprise at the end was different.
Ray, congratulations. That's the funniest thing you've ever said on the radio. That was outstanding, sir.
No, there wasn't much competition.
Bravo. 888-957-9570 is the number. Look, it feels like we have we have turned the media day and media moments into pussycat licking, like, just, I mean, we have no one willing to drop the hammer verbally on anyone. It's just platitudes and gratitudes and just, it's seriously, it's all whisker licking. It's just all, I really respect that guy and I really respect that guy and I really respect that guy. And that's great, but it doesn't make for much of a story. The first story that we got from Super Bowl week isn't even really a story. Ian Rappaport just saying that the practice field conditions had to be upgraded at the expense of the 49ers at the University of Miami. They don't have to move from one place to another. So it feels, you know, a little slow so far. Yesterday was the odd Kobe Bryant happening, which is a really weird way to open up a Super Bowl. And so is asking everyone in a Niners uniform to show up dressed like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
I don't like it.
Kyle Shanahan wore all black because he said there's no way that Andy Reid is going to dress like a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. And he wore a Tommy Bahama Hawaiian shirt. And as soon as Kyle Shanahan saw that, he came out Johnny Cash, Man in Black.
I just don't understand why. What does the NFL think is appealing about putting everybody in white sweatsuits?
They cut a deal with somebody. That's all you need to know. It doesn't matter that it doesn't make any sense. Look, the Super Bowl is a gigantic trade show with a football game tied to the end of it. It's all it's been for 40 years now. And so the fact that they made everybody dress alike, you know, I mean, back when they had Media Day on Tuesday, everybody wore a jersey so that everybody could tell, that's Richard Sherman, or that's, you know, that made sense. But, you know, they'd have gym shorts or they'd have blue jeans. I mean, it wasn't it wasn't this sort of fashion show. Ooh, gee, I want to wear what the pros wear
everything's branded.
Media night.
Yeah, everything's branded. Everything is available online at NFL.com, Pro Shop. You know, I mean, everything.
I think you want people to look good, especially if you're trying to sell it. And well, everybody wearing white like it's the white party in the Hamptons or something is weird.
But here's my criticism of Kyle Shanahan. It's not that he wore black. It's that he didn't tell his players, look, wear what you want. This is stupid.
Well, you don't want to get your
because
players
you know
in
what?
Trouble.
The NFL is not going to do anything about it.
No.
I mean, Bill Belichick has sort of looked like a local vagrant for most of his coaching career.
That's true. I don't
believe that he's ever been fined for it. And good on him for saying no.
His style is absolutely local vagrant.
But, I mean, it's good for him. You should wear what you're comfortable wearing.
You guys are focusing just a little bit too much on this.
I got to be totally honest with you.
It's
you brought it up.
It's not the real point that I was looking to get stuck on, though.
Well,
we have a texter who says they're dope. So what do I know?
What would have been dope is the all white uniforms the Niners actually wanted to wear, but they couldn't. But they were forced to wear all white jumpsuits at media night.
So much silliness.
All white.
You know what?
So the NFL can tell their cocaine joke, but not the individual franchise that is the Niners. They can't tell their Miami cocaine joke.
You kind of just turned me around on the all white suit.
Yeah.
Just by playing that.
That's before every answer. Be like, excuse me, Richard, are you worried about that Tyreek Hill matchup? 888-957-9570. Like we said, the platitudes are being handed out. Frank Clark, who obviously played with Richard Sherman in Seattle, had nice things to say about one of the best corners in football.
I kind of take it as a surprise, though, that people kind of disrespect Sherm, honestly. You know? It's kind of surprising because it's like, how could you? You know, when the man has, I mean, he has everything shown, you know, to show for it. You know, the guy doesn't talk a lot of stuff now. You know, it's the later part of his career. He's not as loud as he used to be. So when he quiets down, they talk more stuff than when he's talking, they respect it. It's kind of weird. You know, but Sherm still, you know, if not, you know, the best corner in the league, you know, and he's still playing at the highest level you can play the position at. And I feel like he's going to continue to do that until he walks away from the game. That's just the nature, you know, of Sherm's mindset. You know, being around him, he shares a similar mindset that I've developed, that he's developed. I mean, and I'm sure he's getting part of that mindset from, you know, growing up with guys, you know, inspiring to be guys like Kobe Bryant. You know, Sherm grows up in Los Angeles, too. And I understand how Sherm thinks. You know, he thinks he's the best. And I believe he's the best. And at the end of the day, he's proven to be the best.
Richard Sherman is in the midst or right at the end of an incredible year, a full-on bounce back to the point where he's as good as he's ever been, or at least that's what the stats that Pro Football Focus keeps on spitting out just about every time he goes out and he plays. Sherman is such a leader for this team. You can tell that he's still got the respect of Frank Clark there. It's no one's going to say anything to give anybody any bulletin board material. No one. And about Richard Sherman, that's probably the right way to do it. Now, Richard Sherman will probably hear all that and be disrespected greatly by it. And that's the beauty of Richard Sherman. He will find something that someone said that was meant to be a compliment, came out just a little bit wrong. That's why Tyreek Hill's going to beat you. And it is the process of elimination that always brings you to the Niners secondary is where's the weakness. It's just a process of elimination. The linebackers are so good, and the defensive line's got such regard that just by process of elimination, it's easy to criticize the Niners secondary as the weak point on the defense. Not a lot of secondaries that are the weak point give up the fewest passing yards in the NFL in years. I like the Niners in this game a lot, fellas. I thought I'd find something that would make me back off the word a lot. I like them a lot. I like them big. I like them by two touchdowns.
That's the part that I'm not willing to go with you on. I will say I have gotten more confident in the Niners over the course of the last week and a half. I have, thinking about various facets of the game. I do think I will pick them ultimately, and if I had to pick today, I would pick them. It's hard for me to imagine them running away from a team that is this potent, because people have tried to run away from the Kansas City Chiefs and it doesn't really work. In fact, oftentimes it seems like you're running away and they come back and beat you. Now, I don't think the Niners are vulnerable to a 21-point comeback necessarily, but I just think it's going to be hard to keep the Chiefs down enough, long enough to win by two touchdowns. That sounds ambitious to me. And maybe it's also just this feeling that even if you're up two touchdowns, you're never going to feel safe in this game.
Oh, there is no safety.
Right.
Even up two touchdowns.
No, you beat the Chiefs only by beating them all the time. I mean, like, you get the hammer down, and then you just keep pouring it on. You run up a score. And the problem is, with this offense, it's hard to run up a score because they not only score a lot, they score quickly. So, I mean, you don't ever get the breathing room that you would like to make this a non-contest. And I think that's their real greatness, is they don't let you let up, because they scare you by existing. It's not that you think that they're going to beat you all the time. It's that you can never build up enough of a lead to feel okay about yourself. And most teams eventually crack under that level of pressure.
Patrick Mahomes has not scored under 30 points in his entire playoff career. Any thoughts on this from the text line?
Yeah, he good.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. I will not, in any point in time, telling you why I like the Niners big in this game, have a negative word about Patrick Mahomes or what he can't do or how to limit him, because I don't think there is an awful lot of limiting him. But the 49ers, that's not me. I'm muted. I'm a pro.
I thought I was muted.
Uh-huh. It's Super Bowl week. We're ready. Join us on the stream. We got our technology nailed down.
In the toilet.
At least he didn't answer it.
I
swear to God, Ray, I thought you were going to answer the phone.
On the stream, he will answer it. So yeah. Come over to the stream with us at 3:30.
Yeah, if Ray's formal broadcast isn't for you, join us on the stream to see what happens. By the way, I asked management how much we could swear.
Yes. Yeah.
Not.
Oh.
This is the request.
I was so excited about swearing.
Well, that's why the answer was not.
Yeah.
We thought you'd
run
too far with
bulls.
It.
That's a bummer. I swear delightfully for, you know, find me out in the city. I'll swear for you.
Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, anybody who sees him on the street, run up to him and grab him and don't let go of him until he swears.
Patrick Mahomes hasn't scored under 30 points in his entire playoff career. His entire playoff career, I believe, now is 3 games.
I think that's correct.
Okay, 3 games.
Maybe four?
You know I hate this and I don't want to do it to you.
You don't hate it that much because you're about to do it to us.
Yeah. But it isn't a huge database.
4 games. Our apologies.
4 games. It's the entire breadth of his career that is your data point. He feels as close to unstoppable and as hard to prepare for as any quarterback could possibly be outside of Lamar Jackson, who was basically Air Force's triple option and you weren't ready for it. But Patrick Mahomes, I think, can be caught up with in the composite of who they have played. And even though none of these players, Patrick Mahomes is like Voltron. It's like 5 other quarterbacks came together to form Patrick Mahomes. And those quarterbacks would be like Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, Lamar Jackson, and Matt Ryan. Maybe, I don't know if Jared
Somebody
Goff,
taller has Aaron, to be in there.
Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the guy is a premier playmaking gunslinger, field general, game manager, soul-snatching talent that you could ever look for. There's no one quite like him. But when you look at all the different styles that the Niners had, and some days they had an awful lot of success against different styles, some days they had their failures, but in all instances, they weren't at full strength. Sunday will be the healthiest 49er team you've seen all year. Tevin Coleman going, and I'm just going to break the news right now. He going, okay?
He's
going to
play.
It's the Super Bowl. There's no amount of rub it in, shoot it up that guys aren't going to go through to be in this game.
Someone on the text line also pointed out that Jimmy G has not scored under 27 in his playoff career. So something's got to give, folks.
Something's got to give.
Actually, that's not true. Both teams can score a lot of points.
I know.
I mean, that's the point.
That's what we've learned.
Vegas is discovering.
Yes.
Is they can't sell an under ticket in this
game. Yeah. So,
which means it's hitting. It's 100% hitting. I think the 49ers are going to slow down Kansas City to the point where it ain't going to work like they hope it does. I think there is no more team qualified to even make an argument that they're well built to slow down Kansas City. Better than the Niners are well built. Like, if for any reason they're able to play deep enough to take away deep threats for the majority of the game, you get burnt once or twice on a big play. Okay, that's definitely going to happen. Like, you should prepare for that to happen. I think they got the speed. I think Kansas City's one-dimensional, and it's easier to catch up with one-dimensional with what the Niners are best at. Pin your ear back, go get the quarterback. What I also know the Niners are fantastic at is playing against the screen game. The speed of their linebackers is considerable, but not nearly as considerable as the speed of Bosa and Ford against the screen game. I mean, we've seen Nick Bosa pick off screen passes.
And the intelligence of those guys against the screen game, too.
They read it. They feel it. They know it's coming, and they react to it as well as defensive ends have ever reacted to it. I think they're built to react well to what the Chiefs are hoping might slow down their pass rush. I think the Niners are built for this defensively. Now, you know, is Mosley going to be an easy, low-hanging target all day and fruit to pick on? Maybe. Like, that's how you lose a Super Bowl. Mosley wasn't good enough. Witherspoon wasn't the right answer. And one guy burns you that day all day. Kind of how you lose. Who's the guy who gave up? Who basically the cornerback that lost the Super Bowl after the gay slur and what was his name? I forget his name. Chris Culliver. That's right. He had brass knuckles.
Oh, the Niners.
Brass knuckles, yes. Then a gay slur, and then he got roasted, toasted in that Super Bowl.
Yep.
And he was picked on. But you forgot about it because you were pissed Gore didn't get it inside the five.
Yeah.
And you always walk away talking about dessert.
I don't know that. Look, we've watched Emmanuel Mosley, people try to pick on him, and it hasn't worked. So I'm less worried about him getting picked on than I am worried about. To me, the pressure's more on Jimmy Ward and Jaquaski Tart when it comes to that. So much of what the Niners do is zone, and Emmanuel Mosley has shown himself more than capable. The question is, do you keep a lid on Tyreek Hill? You know, it's can you keep a lid on Tyreek Hill vertically, and then can you keep the screen game in front of you and not let Hill or Kelsey or either of the Williamses make space where you know they ought not. That to me, I don't know that this is a team as much as they're a passing team. I don't feel like they're a pick on you team. They're a very diverse passing game. They do all sorts of different stuff. I don't feel like it's like Kyle. I'm not sure Andy Reid is exactly like Kyle Shanahan, where he will just do the same thing to you over and over again if you show you can't stop it.
I would agree
No, I think, well, he'll do the same thing. He'll keep throwing.
He'll keep throwing. Yes, but no, I'm not sure it's
gonna,
like...
He's not going to target Tyreek Hill 18 times.
Right, exactly.
Unless Tyreek Hill is catching 14 of them. I mean, that's why Sammy Watkins has been among the least mentioned people in these last 9 days. And he's going to be important.
Yeah, he is. And Hardman as well.
Hardman, you know, has been mentioned almost not at all. And Kelce is always mentioned as the other tight end. Well, he's better than that.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of ways that Kansas City can force the 49ers into a high-tempo game, which is the one thing I don't think they want. I mean, they could play it, but they've only been asked to do it once all year. And that was against
a lesser defense.
A lesser pass defense, yeah, to be sure. The reason why this line has remained as narrow as it is because nobody can get a feel for anything about this game except the fact that they expect it to be in the 60s.
It feels so aggressive. And I just think that if defense is your calling card, which it is for the 49ers, they can't let that happen. This is where I really say, I think this game's decided in the first quarter. I know that you insist, you know, that they are play from behind, very good at it. They certainly are. Being up early in the first quarter is not necessarily a guarantee. But if the Niners are in the second quarter and it's scoreless Kansas City, something's not working for them. And Kansas City has been a slow starter, not just through the playoffs, but in other data points and games this year. I guess you could say that they're like a Wolverine. They're not really dangerous until they get cornered. I don't think this defense is going to play that game. I do think they got enough of a shovel that if you are having trouble, they could bury you early by just taking away your pride, by just taking away, you know, your dignity out there. Albie, do you have the Emmanuel Sanders thing that I sent you today? Did that get on my board? Yeah, the one piece of sound that I was like, Albie, this has got to be on my board. Emmanuel Sanders was talking with Deion Sanders at media night, and Deion, you know, just tried to give him the easy to take, like, don't you hate blocking as a wide receiver? You know, as a corner, I sure hated tackling. So don't you hate that? And Emmanuel Sanders was like, absolutely not. Yeah, and do I hate that? We're not going to get this up on my board instantly? I can't vamp it up? Okay, all right. But, it's just, he basically said this is what, there's nothing better than pushing a guy around. It's almost better watching a corner get eaten into the dirt and watch a running back make a play off your hip. So that's almost as fun as scoring a touchdown.
It's interesting. There have always been guys who feel that way, right? I mean, we can think of them probably pretty quickly. Hines Ward is someone we mentioned the last time we talked about blocking wide receivers. But it does seem kind of unique that the Niners have managed to sell that to the whole room. Everybody is excited about blocking as a wide receiver. And I do wonder how much of that tone is set by George Kittle and by having Kyle Juszczyk on the team. That, like, we value blocking. You want to know how much? Look how much money we gave the damn fullback. That's what we do here. I have to believe that's part of the culture that they've created.
Peyton Manning had a pretty interesting video that was out on ESPN today. And he basically drew it just like Vince Lombardi on the scoreboard. The Niners beat the Packers running Lombardi's sweep. Seal here, seal here, run in the aisle, run in the lane. And that's what they were doing. That's Kittle. Up the alley. Thank you very much.
No, but again, that was a game plan literally pulled from the Lombardi era. And I think it doesn't explain the 49er offense, but it does explain the extremes to which Kyle Shanahan will go when something's working. Because they ran a lot earlier, but they never ran like this because the Packers never tackled them. And you cannot get Kyle Shanahan to get off something when he sees with his own two eyes how well it's working. Nor should he. I mean, the fixation with statistics belongs everywhere else. It doesn't belong in his head. You know, he didn't give Raheem Mostert that many carries because, ooh, wouldn't it be cool if he had 200 yards? All he knew is every time he ran, it was second and two.
This is working.
And that's what that's basically his goal. If he can't get first and 10, he wants second and two. And he got it a lot that day.
You know who always gets it a lot whenever he joins us? Michael Irvin. We got him coming up next year on 95.7 The Game, NFL Network's Hall of Fames, the playmaker himself, Mr. Michael Irvin on 95.7 The Game coming up, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
The road to Miami happens here. Now back to Damon Ratto and Kolsky.
Welcome back to the road to Miami. Our road will lead us to a stream before it's all said and done. We'll tell you more about that at 3 o'clock and how you got to download the radio.com app to join us there. But right now we're joined by Michael Irvin. The road to the Super Bowl got off to a very odd start, obviously, with the passing of Kobe Bryant and the other souls on that helicopter, his daughter. It's just a story that has paralyzed the entire world of sports. So before we get into the Super Bowl, we want to thank Michael Irvin for joining us here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Michael, thank you so much for joining us. Where were you when you heard the bad news?
Oh, actually, I was when I first heard the news, I was in the airport getting ready to board the plane to come to Miami. And I just got off the phone with one of my assistants, one of the people that work for me. A friend of mine called, and he said, "Did you hear the news? They're reporting that Kobe has passed in a helicopter accident." I said, "No, stop playing, man. Get out of here." You know, and I thought it, I really did think he was joking. And he was like, "No, man." He said, "Man." And then he said, "Wait, you know what? Let me make sure. You're right. Let me make sure." And then he called me right back. And he's like, "No, Michael, it is for real." And it's just, I mean, it floored me, you know, it changed everything. I mean, it changed everything, just the mood. You see everybody. It just feels like, I know the world keeps going. And I always say that whenever somebody's lost, I always say, well, the world, it'll keep going. But it just felt like this time it needed to stop just for a moment. To recognize and to just pay homage to quite a man.
Michael, like elite athletes, or at least we perceive world-class athletes, move in similar circles. Did your circle ever intersect with Kobe's? Did you know him at all or well, or what was your relationship, if any?
I met Kobe, you know, and been around in his area once or twice. Never really had any in-depth or deep conversations with him. So in that sense, why I said that he was a friend. But Kobe was great. Kobe, any athlete, Kobe wanted to get up on you and try to get any knowledge of what made you tick or how did you do what you did, you know, that kind of a guy. So it was easy to talk to because he always wanted to find out what it takes to be great or what you think it takes to be great.
NBA players of this generation largely looked to him not only for inspiration, but knowledge. Who was that in your world that allowed you to sort of understand what Kobe's place was in basketball?
Oh, that's a great question. When you talk about just what Kobe means, and that's funny you bring that, because, you know, just as African-Americans we talk, you know, everybody wants people to be up and do some things, and so you could be one of the people up for it. Say, "Hey, look at what that guy's doing. Look at how he's doing. Look at how he does it." And Kobe is definitely one of that, just for our people, you know, African American people. So you know, we feel, you know, when you lose somebody like that, and you lose them that way, yeah, you start questioning, like, wow, how is that so? How is that possible with all the things that you have to dodge sometimes, just being. Or survive, I should say, being an African American, to get a man to accomplish the things he's accomplished, and then have such a tragic end to all of it. It's sad, but you know, let me tell you something. When you talk about looking up to Kobe and everything, my favorite basketball player in the world is Magic Johnson. You know, and Magic Johnson, and I think Kobe looked and watched how Magic did it, and honestly took the same tenacity that he had on the basketball court and took it off the basketball court and took it into the business world, and he was going to be just as successful.
When you think of Kobe as a player, is there a specific moment or something about him that sticks out to you?
Well, a couple of things, of course. And even now, you know, the last couple of days, you've been seeing so much of all that he's done. But I tell you, the one thing that I remember just like it was yesterday, man, was his rookie year when he shot those air balls. Yes. in the playoffs. I swear to you, I'm telling you, God, and I'm just impressing upon you as an athlete. I swear to you, upon my kids and my in front of God Himself, I said this when he shot those balls. I said when he shot those basketball, those air balls. I said, watch, this kid comes back and be one of the greatest ever. Because of that moment right there, I put that on my kid. I'm telling you, I said that the moment he did that, and I watched all those years, and he actually became just that. Because it took such courage to be in that spot and such confidence to believe that you can make those shots at that age that you knew when it went that bad that he was going to push himself that hard to go and make up for it. And he actually became, you know, one of the greatest ever.
Michael Irvin here on 95.7 The Game. Obviously, we've enjoyed talking football with you so much all year, and we're looking forward to this Super Bowl. But we love talking about life with you, man. And this was one of those moments where sometimes the best you can get out of death is the perspective it gives you in your life. And to have, you know, his daughter involved and have that helicopter be full of, you know, parents going to a kid's basketball tournament. The whole thing is so devastating. And the only bright spot is I was also, Michael, in the airport yesterday getting the news. And I'll tell you, I talked to more strangers yesterday. I probably talked to 30 total strangers for conversations that were a minute long or 10 minutes long or 20 minutes long. I probably talked to more strangers yesterday than I did in the last 2 years combined. So maybe that's the silver lining on this cloud, maybe brings us together a little, helps us say we love each other.
Yeah, and you know, it's so funny you bring that up, Dean. You asked where I was when I got the news. And of course, you know, like I started texting all my guys, a game day morning crew. I texted me and I said, my God, Kobe. And, you know, and I was on an airplane. Rich Eisen was on an airplane. And the next text started, and we texted him at the same time. Hey, man, on a plane, just want to say we love you. I love you. I love you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it makes you realize also how quickly it can all be taken away, man. And you want to start to say, hey, let me just tell the people I love that I love them, because you really never know. And it does make you more aware, if that's what you were saying.
I'm going to do the tricky work of switching over to the actual football game we got coming up this weekend. And let me start here, Michael. If we did so much talking about this game last week, is there anything that has occurred to you that wasn't immediately on your mind about the game that sort of, as you thought about it, you began to think, oh, this could be a real issue?
You know what I thought about, too? And it's so funny, because I was talking to my researcher today, and I was asking him to get me. I said, get me the game, because I don't know which game it was, but I just told him. I said, get me the game that Mahomes was under the most pressure. You know, so I'll get the PFF numbers on pressure, sacks, and all of those things. I want to see how that game went. Because you think through it, and you say the best way to stop this offense is probably your strength on their strength. Their strength is Mahomes. Their strength is the defensive line. So now I want to see how he performed under great pressure from what team, and I don't know which team it was, because I'm sure he'll email it to me here in a little while, because I want to see what was that score. How did it come out? You try to do correlations to this game, because I think that's where it would come. I want to see what that defensive line could possibly do. And if they do get to a pressure Mahomes, what's the results of it? And I'll look to some old game to figure that out.
With Mahomes being so spectacular individually, can they take away from the games that they played, Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson twice, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers. They played so well against so many different styles. Can they almost use that composite to go against Patrick Mahomes, who's got a little bit of everything in him?
Yeah, and you're right. You can glean a little bit from all of those and say, yes, he has a little bit of all of this in him. But the biggest part that you're overlooking there is, regardless of all those different styles, it all came under one heading, which is, that was a big game, and we won. So we are ready for whatever goes on in big games because we win. And it goes back to that tough stretch that they had. That's the thing I would live on. That's the thing I would lean on. And when we get in the game, if they go up by 7, that's what I'm yelling on the sideline. We already been here before. Let's keep doing what we do. We know how these turn out. We know how these turn out. We keep doing what we do. That's the key.
You've been out of the game for a while, so you look at it differently than most. When you enter into it, this 2-week period between the end of the conference finals and the Super Bowl, do you always have the team you like on day one and you like it throughout the 2 weeks, or do you find as the weeks go on, do you start second-guessing yourself and thinking, well, maybe I haven't looked at this right? Do you go in with complete certitude, or do you change your mind back and forth?
Well, no. I go in with the thought, you know, but you got to let the week play out. And there are a lot of things that can play out in a week, especially a Super Bowl week, that can teeter you and tilt you one way or the other, or make you do a 360 on where, or 180 on where you were. You know, and let me tell you one thing, I always do this, guys. I say it every year, I do this every year, and I do. I call a few guys at the end of the week and ask, how was the Super Bowl? And if the dude tells me, man, this city is off the chain. Boy, I'm telling you, dog, this city is off the chain. Boy, you know, you're going to put a little X by his name. but if he says, Mike, man, just say, man, all I know, man, I can't wait. We're about to get this, my first Super Bowl, and practice has been great with Chris. I'm going to put a little check by his name. And you can add these X's and checks up, and it'll give you some semblance of who's been enjoying the city and who's been focused. Now, I say that, and I say this also. I believe it's impossible, y'all, just a business trip. It's impossible to come to this setting and this environment and just fool yourself like this is a business trip. That's why I love what Jimmy did when Jimmy said, we're going in on Sunday. You guys going to have Sunday night and Monday and do what you got to do. Let everybody pat you on the back. Get it out your system so we can turn around Tuesday and tune in to what we got to get done. So that way you get both out of the way.
All right, Michael. If you had to pick in this game, is it more likely that the Niners struggle to deal with Travis Kelce or with Tyreek Hill?
Oh. And you know what, dude, it's a great, great situation because the more difficult thing to stop is the great tight end wide receiver combination. It's even more difficult than stopping the two great wide receivers, you know, because the two great wide receivers, shadow cover you, run a two shell cover you and keep two guys over the top of you. But when it's a receiver and a tight end, and I set them both on the same side. If I want to double the wide receiver with a corner and a safety, now I leave a linebacker on the tight end. You know what I'm saying? So it makes it very, very difficult to stop these two. But if you're asking me who's the most dangerous, most definitely is Tyreek Hill. But I could keep somebody back all day to stop Tyreek Hill, to try to stop him. But Travis Kelce, you eat up your middle if you're not careful. And with some of the ways they set, they'll put three people on one side and then bump Travis Kelce out wide by himself on the opposite side. It makes it very difficult for you to have to stop Travis Kelce. And even be clear, if you put a linebacker over there, he eats that up. You know, and if you play zone, well, now you got a linebacker or some inside man on one of the receivers inside. They do a great job with formation.
Is Uncle Luke throwing a party this week? And is that going to be the best party on South Beach?
Yeah, I heard Uncle Luke will be right here throwing some party. but I don't know if it will be the best party, and I will not be showing up. I will not be showing up. Man, I love Luke, man. If it's at a sensible place, then I can pop up. Because, you know, a lot of those guys still, they don't have a job. They're happy. I don't want the network coming up to me saying, I was like, hey, you know, I thought this was, we were the Super Bowl. I was just over with some old friends. No, Michael, we shouldn't be here. So I have to be very careful with that, man.
Spoken like the crafty vet that you are, Michael. Before we let you go, we got to get your game prediction brought to you by FitAid, the number one post-workout recovery drink in America. Michael, who do you like in Super Bowl 54?
Yeah, and I still, like I said, I'm at San Francisco, and I still have San Francisco winning this game. And I said this now, and it's another one thing that I said that's different. I guarantee you, because we're talking about the run game and San Francisco run game and the explosiveness of that other offense over there in Kansas City, I will say this. I got San Francisco winning, but Jimmy G will have to make that drive to win the game. It's not going to be we're going to just milk the clock and run it out. No, you're going to be forced to make a drive to win this football game. I'm saying you make that drive to win the game. And I'm saying we get some scoring. We get a lot of scoring in this game. So let's go 38-34.
Oh,
what a great Super Bowl that would be.
That's the over.
34.
Take the over.
He takes the last drive and win that game in the last drive. That's a Super Bowl.
Michael, thank you.
All right, guys.
Michael Irvin here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky as we move into our 3 o'clock hour.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
We're about to have ourselves a Tuesday trifecta. Our topic today is write that down. I'm asking for a score and a quick synopsis of how the game plays out. Question number two, who's your Super Bowl MVP? And question number three, we're having a draft. The Super Bowl snack draft, mandatory food items at the Super Bowl party. Got to have it in front of you and put it in your mouth to really enjoy a Super Bowl. 888-957-9570. We'll get to the Tuesday trifecta in just a second. Someone on the text line says, you know, Patrick Mahomes, he only averaged 178 yards passing, one touchdown, one pick against the Chargers this year that run a similar Seattle scheme, and the Niners defense is much more talented. Well, in one place, you can't say they're much more talented, but maybe as talented is, you know, in the category of Bosa. I mean, I think
they both have Bosas.
Yeah, they both got Bosas, and Nick Bosa said when it comes to slowing down Patrick Mahomes, which Joey's defense did a little, he got some advice. Here's Nick Bosa on what his brother told him about slowing down Mahomes.
And one of the other people that are here to watch is your brother, Joey, who's been chasing quarterbacks for years in the NFL and haven't had a chance to get to this point. What has he said to you about this?
He plays the Chiefs twice a year, so he's got his pass rush tips for me. But just enjoy the moment, because stuff like this doesn't happen too often.
What did he say about getting to Patrick Mahomes and those pass rush tips?
Just, I can't give those away, but just contain him in the pocket, because he could extend some plays.
Hand fight through everything, never stop coming. And by the way, I don't think his brother really had to tell him that for him to do that. It's kind of what he does.
Yeah, his brother was probably more specific than, yeah, go get him.
The advice isn't wrong.
No, but it's incomplete.
It is.
The Chiefs ran the ball quite well against those Chargers teams, and they did win both of those games.
Yes, they did.
Truth be told, the Chargers couldn't tackle anyone at any time for any reason.
Yeah, what's interesting is the Chargers defense is not actually that much less talented than the Niners. They had a much worse year than the Niners, but I don't know. They got Derwin James out there. They got Bosa and Ingram. Like, it's a pretty talented defense. I do wonder, those two games are interesting. I also, the second Chargers game is not that long after the knee injury. So that one is less informative, I feel, or the first Chargers game, rather. The second Chargers game, yeah, I'd look at that. But more than anything, I'm looking at Indiana because that was a healthy Mahomes, and the Chiefs managed 13 points. And some of that was a turnover. I think there was a fumble in that game. But I looked at the play charts this morning. It's also a lot of three and outs and a lot of short drives and a couple times drives abbreviated for a field goal, which is not obviously what we're used to with Kansas City. So I do think there are a few games you can look at this year and try to take something from the approaches of teams that at least managed to slow these guys down a little.
Like I said, we're trying to build a composite.
Exactly.
Build a composite. Patrick Mahomes is a lot of quarterbacks in one. Like, several skill sets come together to form the Voltron that is Patrick Mahomes. And
our powers combined.
Exactly. We'll take a look at what those are over on the stream. I got to invite everybody today at 3:30. Look, we're going to get you to Warriors Live. We're going to get you to Warriors Live at 3:30. Warriors basketball tonight here on 95.7 The Game. If you want to keep talking football and Super Bowl, though, we are continuing the show on the 95.7 The Game stream on the radio.com app. We'll be live on the stream from 3:30 to 6 o'clock tonight. We're sending one of our listeners and a guest to Fort Lauderdale, Florida this weekend. We're going to be qualifying five people every hour on the stream only, which increases your chances of qualifying and getting through greatly.
Also, for all of you folks who regularly listen to the stream and say, I never win anything because the stream is slightly behind the terrestrial radio and I'm always too late, this is your chance.
The winner will receive round-trip airfare, hotel accommodations, and two tickets to Radio.com's The Night Before concert event starring Zach Brown Band on Saturday night. The prize also includes a meet-and-greet with the band. All of this is brought to you by Greater Fort Lauderdale, only 20 minutes from Hard Rock Stadium. Visit them today at sunny.org. 888-957-9570 is our number, and I need you to use it right now to get in line for the Tuesday trifecta. We're doing it early today because, like I said, we're going to go over to the stream. We invite you to join us over on the stream starting at 3:30, but we got a Tuesday trifecta, and we got it for you right now. Our topic today for the Tuesday trifecta is, write that down, give me a score for the Super Bowl and a quick synopsis. Then, second question, who is your Super Bowl MVP? How does it play out? And then we have one of the most important drafts of the year, the Super Bowl snack draft. What must you have to enjoy the Super Bowl? What do you have? What are you having? Deliciousness. All on the way. 888-957-9570 is the number. Get in line. The Tuesday trifecta. Ask for it by name and accept no substitutes. While all of that is being set up, I told you earlier there was some great sound from Emmanuel Sanders. And when you got wide receivers talking like this, you got a team's running game on the same page heading into the big game. Emmanuel Sanders on blocking.
I went and told Kittle, I said, look, I'm about to take these gloves off and get out here and manhandle these boys. Because look, I said, we taking a soul out of them. I said, we taking a soul out of them. Man, ain't nothing like grabbing a dude and you blocking a dude. And I swear, this is the God honest truth. It might be a better feeling than scoring a touchdown seeing a running back run off your block into the end zone. It's one of the best feelings ever. And truthfully, I hope it keeps it that way. Because at the end of the day, it's about winning.
He's so right. He doesn't care how they win, as long as they win. But when you got a guy bought in like that, who isn't bought in? They got the results that say everybody's bought in. And he's talking about squeezing the life, just taking manhood. And that is the way that they would sow some early doubt in Kansas City. Some seeds of doubt with a scoreless first quarter, I believe, sprout all the way to a Super Bowl win. And I know Kansas City has been deadly in the second quarter. Like, they use the second quarter like it's an open bar to go nuts. I don't think the 49ers are going to let them in quite like that. Ray. Turn your mic on, Ray. It is the Super Bowl.
I thought we were going to a break. When do we never go to breaks? Breaks are the most fun.
3:30. And then we're doing commercial-free streaming until 6 o'clock.
Commercial-free.
No breaks, Ratto.
Break-free.
Suck it.
I'm going to eat my gun. I think Kansas City scores on anybody. The question is whether they can keep San Francisco from scoring. That, to me, is the open question, not whether Kansas City is going to find ways to score. Kansas City will score.
Isn't the question also, though, how much they score? I mean, I understand that's obviously that's the question, and I'm being an idiot, but... Yes, they're going to score, but are you unable to stop them from scoring at will? Or do you get a few, string a few stops together to change momentum in this game and take control of it? I mean, that to me is where the rubber meets the road for the Niners.
Yeah, and to me, I nerd that I am, I think this is a game that'll be determined by the number of possessions. The more times Kansas City has the ball, the worse it is for the 49ers. The 49ers literally have to turn this into basically a 9-possession-per-team game. You know, that might be extreme, but the closer it is to 10, you know, the better off the 49ers are. Anything much above 12, now it's a shootout, and Kansas City's better at shootouts.
Yep.
It doesn't mean San Francisco is incapable of playing a shootout. We saw that.
The odds swing in Kansas City's favor, though.
The more points you get, the better you have to like Kansas City.
The odds swing in your favor of winning a trip to Fort Lauderdale greatly. If you follow us over on the stream, again, we got Warriors Live coming up here on 95.7 The Game. You want to stick around, listen to Warriors basketball tonight? Keep it right here. If you want more Super Bowl, that's all going on. Download the radio.com app. Join us on the stream. We're going to be qualifying 15 people, 5 at a time, 3 different times, for a chance to go to Fort Lauderdale to see the Zac Brown Band. So make sure you stay tuned over on the stream. We're about to do it all over there, but right now over here to wrap up today's show, it's officially time for the Tuesday Trifecta.
And suddenly over the loudspeaker, I heard...
Trifecta.
Triple.
Trifecta.
With a triple.
Trifecta.
It's the Tuesday Trifecta. One topic, 3 questions. Now, here's Damon Bruce.
Welcome, welcome. Here we go to wrap up today's show. One of the most tradition-rich Tuesday trifectas of the entire year. It is the Tuesday trifecta we have every Super Bowl week. We'll begin with Jonathan in San Francisco. Jonathan, thank you very much. Give me a score and a quick synopsis. And I don't mean, like, don't break down safety play here. A quick synopsis.
Hey, at this point, there are who they are and what got them here. And the 49ers are a more complete team. The Kansas City Chiefs are all Mahomes. I'm going to go 49ers 34, Kansas City Chiefs 17.
Who is your MVP?
Bosa.
You get the number. Wow, when's the last time a defensive end was named MVP? Well, I guess Von Miller.
I think Von Miller.
Again,
did
not
it,
a defensive end, outside linebacker. But
same
that,
difference.
It's been a while. Charles Haley, was he named a Super Bowl MVP?
I don't believe so.
Richard Dent?
Did Dent win MVP? He might have.
Jonathan, you have the first overall pick in the Super Bowl snack draft. What are you taking number one overall?
Nacho cheese and chips.
Nachos. I mean, you can't argue against nachos.
Look, I had a two-item big board, and that's one of them.
So, Mel Kiper, very happy with this pick.
Absolutely.
Yeah, nachos are
it's a classic.
They're globally undefeated.
That's right.
But they're not the only undefeated snack. This is Piper in San Francisco. Piper, thank you very much for the call. Give me a score and a quick synopsis.
Good afternoon, fellas. San Francisco 38, Kansas City 24. Final play of the game will be Jimmy G to Sanders for the touchdown.
Who is your MVP?
Kittle in the middle.
Hey, diddle, diddle. Super Bowl snack draft, second overall pick.
Buffalo wings, my friend, with a little ranch on the side.
Boom.
Blue cheese.
Thank you.
But otherwise, those are the two. I mean, that's it. That's the big board. Great job by the drafters.
Now, there is one that has slid to third, which has got incredible value.
Okay. There's I'm interested to see what you're going for
incredible
here.
Incredible value at number three.
All right.
We'll see if Arnold in San Francisco is on the same page with us or not. Arnold, thank you so much for calling the Tuesday Trifecta. Give me a score and a quick breakdown of how it goes down.
All right, Kansas City scores on the first drive. Niners defense controls the game. Last score, 21-17. Kansas City takes it.
MVP.
I'd say Travis Kelce.
You have the third overall pick in the Super Bowl snack draft. You have been a very Kansas City slanted opinion giver so far. I'm wondering if you're going to take burnt ends.
I would say pulled pork sliders.
Pulled pork.
That's solid.
Yeah,
nothing wrong with that.
I would say that it maybe overdrafted. It's hard to overdraft pulled pork, though. I mean, it really is. You can't argue with it. Who doesn't love a slider?
Richard Dent, the last defensive end per se, although Von Miller obviously is a pass rusher, and he did win the award. And before that, appears Cowboys Harvey Martin and Randy White split the award, both defensive linemen.
Yeah. White was a tackle. Martin was an end.
There you go.
So you were correct.
And Dent was a Bear.
Yep.
It was the last fun night we ever had. Alamo Brown, what do you got, Alamo Brown? Thank you very much for the call. Give me a score and a quick synopsis.
Hey, fellas, we've got to go with those Niners. 24-20 and the double Bs. Bosa and Buckner control the dice all day long with the defensive end, sir.
Who is your MVP?
Oh, MVP, we definitely got to go with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, look at that. I'm surprised it took us four picks in.
Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang.
Super Bowl snack draft. You have the fourth overall, Alamo Brown.
Well, you got to take the Buffalo Wings.
Wings is already off the board. Wings is already off the board.
Hey, give me a nice Caesar salad, and I'm good for the day.
Wow. So I can't believe a salad went fourth overall. I mean, salad obviously was going to go undrafted. I mean,
I definitely thought salad was going to be undrafted. Nothing wrong with a Caesar salad.
I do love a Caesar salad. Yeah. It is the most dominant of all your tableside salads, but you know you're doing a show in Northern California where a salad goes fourth overall.
Kale Caesar, we really would have had the San Francisco
If it were a kale salad, I would have canceled the streaming. We would have just gone home. Frank, Redwood City, thank you very much, Frank, for the call. Give me a score and a quick synopsis.
Niners all the way. I think it's going to be 31-24. It's going to be a shootout. But I think the 49ers defense is going to come through and harass Patrick Mahomes, and we're going to bring home the victory.
MVP.
Mostert. I think he's going to pound it down their throats and score a couple touchdowns.
You could have gotten him 50-1 to be named MVP
really?
A few weeks ago.
Oh, a few weeks ago
before he went bonkers in the NFC title game. You had to find your value. Frank, what value do you have at the fifth overall pick in the Super Bowl snack draft? The first four picks were nachos, wings, pulled pork sliders, and Caesar salad.
I don't know about that Caesar salad, but I'll have to go with some bacon wrapped scallops.
Bacon, ooh. You know, I mean, bacon wrap just about anything, but bacon wrap scallops.
Classy.
Yeah, cannot go wrong with that. Look at us getting all bougie in Redwood City with our scallops. Look at us. Look at Oscar in Concord. Oscar, give me your score and a quick synopsis.
All right, guys. So score, I'm going to agree with the other guy. 38-24. Synopsis, Sherman said he's playing for Kobe. Defense is going to make sure they get a combination of eight between turnovers and sacks. And my draft pick is going to be guacamole. Just give me a whole bowl of it, baby.
Guac. You know, you'd think that nachos took guac off the board. It did not. It's almost a second entity.
Was that what you were thinking of?
Chip enjoyment. No, it's my clear.
Oh, I see what you got there.
A huge, now, don't look. Don't share. But
I won't share.
I mean, I think I could get a guy who's got top three value now in the second
half. I think you're right.
Of the top 10.
And the text line's on it.
Okay.
And in fact,
yes,
guac is also the star of a Wall Street Journal story about the most repeated injury in Super Bowl week, which is called avocado hand.
Oh, you can really do damage cutting yourself.
If you don't handle a knife right, you're going to the hospital.
Oh, God.
They said, I'm trying to look at the...
You know where people really hurt themselves on the avocado? It's not the cutting of the avocado. It's the removal of the pit. When you like kind of drop your butcher knife into the pit and you pull it out with that, and then you go to grab it off, and that's where you slip.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
that's dangerous.
Look out, everybody. It's like 4th of July fireworks, except avocados on Super Bowl Sunday. Yeah. We only got 2 minutes left. Carpenter, you're going to be our final Tuesday trifecta call of the day. So let's make it a good one. Give me your score and quick synopsis.
I got 35-21 Niners.
I think that Jimmy G is going to be the MVP.
Hold on.
Gucci gang.
Seventh and final pick.
Running out the game. I think they're going to run the game out at the end to seal it. I see Debo. I see.
Oh, Emmanuel, we're still doing the description.
I see the tight end coming through for Jimmy. And so, and then what's the other question there?
Seventh pick in the snack draft.
Deviled eggs.
Deviled eggs.
Not a bad snack. I much enjoy deviled eggs, but boy.
I mean, a snack means you're going back several times, I think. But I don't know. We're not going to get lost in the definition of snack. Deviled eggs are delicious, very difficult to prepare. Time intensive.
Yeah.
Time intensive. I'm surprised that deviled eggs went off the board before pizza.
Yes, pizza.
Pizza. Have you ever been to a Super Bowl party without the pizza? I don't think I have. Nachos, wings, pulled pork, Caesar salad. Just, I mean, they are making fun of that back in Bristol. Bacon, scallops, guac.
We got a text that said you can't make friends with salad.
Pizza. Wait, no, you really can't. No lumpia.
There was lumpia on the text line. Jalapeno poppers made an appearance on the text line.
Some baby back ribs.
Stuffed potato skins, a couple people mentioned. Always very
again,
good.
Labor intensive.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you very much for joining us here. We are not even close to being done. Join us over on radio.com's 95.7 The Game app. We look forward to talking to you more there. We've got interviews today coming up over on the app with Ross Tucker and Peter King. We're also going to be giving away a trip to Fort Lauderdale. Thank you so much for listening. Warriors Live is coming up next year on 95.7 The Game. We'll see you over on the stream. If that's where you choose to join us, we hope you do. Sports don't build character, they reveal it.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.